Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Throwback Podcast. This is your host, Ryan the Podman. It seems like I might be riding solo here today. I have not seen my co-host Jimmy anywhere today. But that's okay, because we have another great show lined up for you today. Our special guest this episode is actress Dawn Lewis. We are so honored to have Dawn Lewis on our show. A lot of you listeners might know her as Jaleesa Vincent on the hit TV show A Different World, as well as Robin Dumars on the 90s hit TV show Hanging with Mr. Cooper. She also has done a lot of pretty dope stuff throughout her career, as you'll see during this interview. She's had a pretty impressive career, and I really enjoy doing this interview. You know, earlier today I was doing something. Hold on a second, guys. It's Jimmy calling in. One sec.
Jimmy, where are you? The show's starting.
Sorry, Daddy. I had to make a quick stop to the grocery store.
Couldn't this wait till after the show?
No, I had to come now. I saw this deal on Stuffles Fabric Softener, 2-for-1 special, Daddy.
You really need to pick that up now. I'm running solo here.
I had to get that in a box of Captain Crunch Berries for my OkCupid date later tonight, Daddy.
So let me get this straight. You need to pick up Snuggles Fabric Softener and a box of Captain Crunch Berries for your date. What kind of dates are you guys having?
Oh, wouldn't you like to know? I also happen to be excited that Dawn Lewis is our guest today, Daddy. Let me tell you something here now. This is one badass lady. I love that everything she has done. From A Different World as Jaleesa. Hey, Ryan, want to hear me sing the theme? I know my parents love me. Stand behind me, come with me. I know I'm ready, because I finally heard them say, in a different world, where you come from. Yeah, here's a chance to make it. If you focus on our goals.
Jimmy, you are no Aretha Franklin.
You was also Robert Dumas on Hanging with Mr. Cooper. I can sing that too. Listen to this. Cooper, hanging with my face, so Cooper, sometimes daddy acts like a fool, yeah.
Oh, you are definitely a fool, Jimmy. Singing should not be your career.
Hey, man, I'm excited to have Dawn Lewis on the show. Thanks so much. I'm just excited to hear the interview.
It's just too bad you had to go on a random shopping spree instead of being here at the studio.
Yeah, I ain't letting these inflation prices get a hold of me. Hold on a second, Ryan.
Jimmy, you still there?
Excuse me, man. That is a cute baby you have there. You mind if I say hi? Hey, little man, give me five. Yeah, give me five.
Jimmy, what happened?
It fucking bit me in the nose and the old honker, Dad. It's swelling up. I'm going to have to call you back.
Well, okay.
Okay, seems Jimmy's going to have to call back later. Not sure what just happened there, but anyways, like I always say, if you like what you hear today, please be sure to check us out on Twitter at Throw Podcast, THROW Podcast, or on Instagram at Throwback_Podcast, as well as on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, and wherever else you download your favorite podcast. Now on to our exclusive interview with the one and only Dawn Lewis. Talk to you guys after.
You're listening to the Throwback Podcast, your one stop for exclusive interviews and talk of everything 90s with a little 80s and 2000s mixed in with your host, Ryan the Podman Rafiq. The following is a throwback exclusive.
Joining us on the Throwback Podcast right now is the beautiful and multi-talented Jill of All Trades, Dawn Lewis. Dawn, how are you doing?
I'm fantastic. How are you, Ryan?
I'm doing good. Thanks for coming on.
Absolutely.
You have a very long longevity for your career. You've done so much stuff, and I'm so excited to get into what you've all done. But, you know, first off, you're a doctor? I didn't know you were a doctor.
Yes, I got my honorary doctorate back in 2019 in the humanities, basically for the work I do with underserved communities and youth, not just here in America, but around the world. We were talking about Guyana. That's where both of our families, our heritage hails from. Yours Guyanese American, mine is Guyanese,
right?
Born in America. But I've taken workshops and courses back to Guyana, as far away as New Delhi, India, London, different parts of Europe, and of course here from coast to coast in the U.S., north and south, east and west. So I've been doing that for more than 40 years. And about 6 years ago, I formalized the work I was doing into a nonprofit organization called the A New Day Foundation, where we serve underserved youth and communities. We do financial and programmatic support for teens and families. And so for all of that work, that's what I got my doctorate in.
Oh, that's pretty dope. That's pretty cool.
Thank you.
So you said you got that in 2019, you said?
2019.
Wow. So 4 years now. That's pretty cool. So
thank you.
I want to briefly talk about your time in the entertainment, but how did you first break into the entertainment business? Like, how old were you?
My first gig, I was four.
You were four?
I was always singing. I started dancing classically and with formal training by the time I was seven. But I started singing really early. And my mom was a substitute teacher at an elementary school in our neighborhood. So I was always in the school. I was always singing, dancing, running up and down the halls. They had a spring concert coming up. I begged them, please let me sing. They said, okay, great. We know you can sing. I did Getting to Know You from The King and I had choreography with my hands and lots of gestures and all of that. And I was fabulous in rehearsal, if I must say so myself.
Oh, yeah.
and the audience showed up and I sat there and saw all the people and I literally froze on stage. There's multiple photographs of me standing on stage like, what am I to do? And I got through the song. They escorted me to the side of the stage. They have a seat. And I said, no, let me try it again. They're like, just sit down. So just go sit down somewhere. So what I learned is that you never get a second chance to make a first impression. And I have fought like tooth and nail to never have that kind of stage fright again. But that was literally my very first experience on stage.
Oh, that was your first time, Mary.
Yeah, by the time I was 4 years old, I was dancing on the stage of Carnegie Hall, the Brooklyn Academy of Music. I had the bug. I went to the High School of Music and Art of fame. Started singing opera. I played cello for about 6.5, almost 7 years. Graduated high school, went down to the University of Miami. And I was lead singer in my first band by the time I was 14, doing proms and school dances and gigs and such. So I went down to Miami for college. I started at 16 and wanted to combine all the things that I've always done, singing, dancing, and acting. So they developed a new degree program around me for people like me that weren't just musicians or weren't just actors. So I'm the founder and first graduate of the musical theater degree program in Miami. I used to singing jingles. Wanted to be a recording artist. I did a pilot while I was in school. I was always on stage, always performing. So yeah, I knew pretty early on that this was what I wanted to do.
That's cool. So would you say music was your first passion since that's what the first thing you did?
Yeah. Yeah. Before TV started, I was singing and dancing. That's where I thought my career was going to go. I was really focused on becoming a recording artist. I used to write, produce, and perform with other recording artists. I was a sought-after session singer in New York, and I had a single out that was charting on Billboard. I'd won the Apollo, all those kinds of things, and I was doing a tour of a Broadway show, the national tour of the Tap Dance Kid with the legendary Harold Nicholas of the Nicholas Brothers, Dule Hill, who has gone on to carve out such an amazing career for himself. He was our kid. So I've known Dule and Savion and all of them since they were 10 years old.
Yeah.
That's where all of them got their start. And Hinton Battle and Ben Harney. It was amazing. And the same people that cast that cast A Different World. And wow. So I made the transition from there to there. But that's also how I got to write the theme song.
Oh, yeah. We're going to talk. So how were you first approached to be on A Different World? Like, how did that come about?
They did not approach me. The casting directors, I called and begged them for almost 3.5 months. Please let me audition. Right. Their response was, we love what you're doing in the Broadway show. You just stay right there. We're good. So the tour ended. I was down to my last unemployment check. I got a call out of the blue. Are you still interested in auditioning for this show? I was like, heck yeah. Can you be here tomorrow? Heck yeah. About an hour later, the musical director for The Cosby Show, he had one of my demo tapes of my singing and songwriting. He called me off of my number on the tape and said, are you the same person? Yes, I am. would you have time and interest in working with me on the theme song for this new TV show? Yeah. Heck yeah. So I thought, honestly, at that point, I thought it was my friends playing a joke on me because that just doesn't happen. No. So I called the casting people back and said, did you just call me? They said, yeah, is there a problem? I said, no. Can you still be here tomorrow? Yeah, I can. The musical director sent me the cassette of the music, the vibe he was thinking of for the show. It was originally called Stepping Up to Step Out.
That's what it was called originally?
Uh-huh. And it was about Lisa Bonet going off to college. That was on a Wednesday. He said, I'll see you in here Friday. I said, you don't want to meet first, hear what I come up with? He said, no. If you're the same person that wrote this, I'm trusting that you can do what I need done. Oh. Thursday, I did my audition. I met with an attorney. Can you come up with a contract for me for this songwriting gig? They said, we'd be happy to help you. I said, actually, I need your assistant because I don't have any money. I just got out of college. They said, no, we will help you free of charge. We won't charge you a dime. We're just impressed that you want to do this properly and you didn't just sign the first thing that they put in front of you. All we ask is that you be willing to pay it forward when someone comes to you for assistance. And I'd never heard that term before. Yeah. But that term has been a blessing to me ever since, which was one of the motivating factors of my foundation. So I booked the co-star spot and co-wrote the theme song for A Different World in less than 10 days.
Less than 10 days?
Wow. Less than 10 days. I was in the studio that Friday. We recorded 3-4 different versions. They loved it. They said, this is amazing. Writing those words, knowing the story, everyone loved The Cosby Show.
Yeah.
And this amazing family with these beautiful, diverse, articulate, spunky, charismatic children. Mm-hmm. And everybody wanted that family. Most of us knew at least one family that was similar to that. Yeah. So when I wrote those words, being that I had just started college at 16, graduated magna cum laude with a double major by the time I was 20, only because I had the support and encouragement of my mom. You know what I mean? And the village that was around me, there were so many people that thought I was going to fail. There were so many people that expected me to go to college, get pregnant, just be all over the place. And it was because of their belief in me and the positive input that hurt by my mom, some of my family and my teachers deposited in me that I was able to one step at a time, make my path forward. So that's what those words meant to me. And the fact that people are still singing them today, 35, yeah, 36 years later, you know what I mean? Is humbling. It's amazing. Who knew? But Yeah.
I know for me, sometimes that song just pops in my head randomly when I'm doing nothing. So it's like a very iconic song, whether you know it or not. So you said you did different versions of it. Did you do the season one? I know season one and season two.
No. Once they realized, they did not know they had hired the same person until they hired the same person.
Yeah.
Then they were shocked. It's like, oh, well, you can't sing it now because it's not your show. That's like too much attention on you. You're in the show. You wrote the song. You're singing the song. Like, yeah, right. No, we can't do that. So they had Al Green come in and do it. Oh, and we had started, but we hadn't quite started working on the pilot yet. So Al and I were in the studio. That was when I met him. It was myself, Rochelle Farrell, and Lynn Fidmop singing backgrounds. And I'm in the studio saying, no, Al, the song goes like this. This is how it goes, Al. So at that point, but then they flipped it again.
Right.
They had this R&B version. They had a gospel version. And then once we shot the pilot, they decided, you know what? We want this to be more female-centered. So they pushed aside Al's version and brought in Phoebe Snow. And that's the first version that everybody heard, where myself, I'm jumping double dutch,
yeah,
you know, Lisa's chasing after the handsome boy, Marissa's knocking over bicycles, playing the fake piano,
yeah,
and we're washing cars. That's the first version that everyone heard. So they thought they were going to redo it every season.
Yeah.
And kind of like The Cosby Show was doing. They had the same.
I know, yeah, right, yeah.
Revamped it.
Every season they had a different theme, yeah.
There you go. So second season, they had Aretha Franklin do it. Then after that, everyone kind of looked at each other and said, I don't think we need to do this again.
No.
So they used her version for the next 4 years. And then in the sixth season, they had Boys to Men come in.
Oh, yeah. That was like during the later seasons, right?
Right. That was the final season, season six.
Season six. Okay. Overall, how did you like your experience on A Different World? You played Jaleesa Vinson. Like, overall experience, how did you like being on the show?
The overall experience was that it opened a lot of doors for me. It put me on a platform on an international level that gave me a calling card for everything else that I've ever wanted to do. It positioned me to do voiceovers. I've now been a successful voiceover actor for more than 30 plus years. It's positioned me to create and develop and sell TV projects. I created and developed and sold a TV series to ABC a number of years ago. I am the process of presenting and hopefully closing a deal on another couple of projects as we speak. I get to travel. I get to work with young people and different youth groups and corporations around the world.
That's cool.
And yeah, doing feature films. I still do theater. I was just on Broadway doing the Tina Turner musical.
Yeah.
And it opened doors for me that I can only say thank you. I can only say thank you. And I'm grateful to the fans that whether I'm doing music, whether I'm in concert, whether I'm on stage, whether I'm in a movie, whether they hear my voice on an animated project, they go where I go. And they're so supportive and they're so encouraging. You know, there's a pocket of folk that are kind of stuck on A Different World.
Yeah.
I haven't had a job in like 35 years, but like, no, yeah. So I'm grateful for the platform and the way it established me in the industry, both professionally and socially. I won't lie, because of what I've accomplished, people listen to what you have to say. And I really pray that what I have to say is empowering, is enlightening, is encouraging to someone else.
I'm sure it is. You were on there for what, about 5-6 years? Different World?
No, I was there. I did the pilot. When I left the show at the end of the fifth season, I was the last original cast member of the show. The original cast was myself, Lisa Bonet, and Marissa Tomei. We filmed for a few months before we got a new executive producer added to the show. And so they then added the Whitley, Dwayne Wayne, Ron Johnson, Millie character
right.
at that point. And the Colonel Taylor character. So what they did was shot scenes that could be intercut and integrated into what we had already shot. So that when they started airing those episodes, it looked like we were all there from the beginning. So no, the wedding episode, the end of episode season 5, that was my final episode.
That was your and then final
I went
one,
there
right?
to hang with okay. Mr. Cooper.
Mm-hmm. Right. So after you left A Different World, you went to Hanging with Mr. Cooper, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
How'd you like working with Mark Curry and Holly Robinson-Peete on that show?
Holly, I'd already known. From 21 Jump Street. She and I came into the Hollywood scene together. Mark was a newcomer, and they marketed us as the African-American
Three's Company.
Right, yeah. Exactly. So that show, in all honesty, working with them was great. Working on the show often presented issues. It was a show about three young African-Americans with a writer's room full of Caucasian men. Who week after week, we were just really challenged on how our story should be told that wasn't offensive to us personally or people of color. More often than not, we were successful, but it was, oh my God.
Yeah.
So that was a challenge, which mainly is why I only stayed the first season.
You're on there one season, and then you left the show. I think Sandra Quarterman, I think Raymond Simone, they took over, I think, after the grand.
Right, correct. Yeah. Correct.
But you love your experience on the show for the most part, you said.
For the most part. Yeah. For the most part.
That's all right. Yeah, so hold on. Let's see.
That's the business of show business. You know,
yeah,
that's
I know.
All
I get it. Yeah, you get it.
Don't see. And, you know, all you hope is that they come away with something that they can enjoy and respond to. And then the rest of it is for us to deal with, or if we want to or don't want to. The reality is that the industry, it's an amazing platform. But what people sometimes don't always pay attention to is that the phrase show business, the word business is figuratively and actually twice as long as the word show. So the business part of it is very, very real. And either you're handling your business or you can get swallowed up by the business. So gratefully, you get a mixed bag when you do this. You get an environment, and it usually starts from the top down. That's either inclusive, supportive, affirming, you know, wants to celebrate and wants to acknowledge everyone's excellence, or you deal from the top down where they're playing one person against the other, where it's divisive, where it's minimizing, where you don't feel like your voice is valued at all, where you just feel like a commodity. And throughout my career, I've definitely had both of those experiences. The Hang with Mr. Cooper was one of the latter. I was like, you know what? I'm good. I don't need to be here.
Do you have a favorite episode from Mr. Cooper from the one season that stands out to you that you did?
One of my favorite episodes was when Steve Williams, well, I had two.
Yeah.
One was when Steve Williams played my dad and he and I got to sing together. My dad was a nightclub singer. I was the music tea teacher at the school where Mark and I worked. So dad, you know, blows into town and he's hot and he's cool and he's taking over. And he invites me up on stage to sing with him. That was a really beautiful episode for me. And I believe for the show, because I had my own father issues. So that was a healing catharsis kind of a thing for me. And then the other one is where, I believe it was skiing. I wanted to go skiing and I hung myself in a gravity machine and couldn't get out. And, you know, there was some episodes that were just a lot of fun.
Oh yeah. That's cool. Yeah. You know, a lot of people, we talked about this earlier, but a lot of people don't know you're actually a Grammy Awards. You won a Grammy Award.
I participated in the album project Handel's Messiah, a soulful celebration that was produced by Quincy Jones. It was arranged by Mr. Mervyn Warren, who was one of the original members of Take Six. And it was an all-star choir from everyone from Marilyn McCoo, Stephanie Mills, Sheila E., Chaka Khan, Daryl Coley, Vanessa Bell Armstrong, Take Six. The list just went on. It was kind of like the We Are the World of the Handel's Messiah. And so I sang on that project, and that was what I won the Grammy for.
That's cool. You also did some work with Vanessa Williams, correct?
Yes. Vanessa Williams, her very first album. I think it's got, which one was that? The Right Stuff? So the song Dreamin', I did the background vocals. I did, I'll be dreaming that you'd stick. So that's me. I'm singing all the parts, and then Vanessa layered over that. Yeah.
That's pretty dope.
Yeah.
And you actually had done a lot of voiceover work too. Like, you were in like three of the X-Men, I think you voiced Storm in the three X-Men. I played those games. I didn't even know that was you.
That's me. I started, like I said, my very first animated gig was, the Kid and Play cartoon. I played their annoying younger sister who talk like this. You better do it. I'm going to tell mommy what you did. Mm-hmm. You're going to be in some big trouble. That was her. I mean, all the way from there to C-Bear and Jamal with Tone Loc to Doc McStuffins, Granny McStuffins. Now I do Star Trek Lower Decks. Is Captain Carol Freeman. I do Karma's World as Ms. Washington. That's Ludacris's show on Netflix. I'm the Chief in Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego. I'm Patty in Apple and Onion. I'm Curious George, Spirit. I mean, I do a lot.
Yeah,
I've been doing The Simpsons for almost 9 years now.
Wow. You were just on an episode of Young Rock not too long ago, weren't you?
Yes. They added me to the cast for season 3. Young Rock as the
prime minister. How was it like working with Dwayne Johnson?
You know what? Dwayne is so cool. He and I both went to the University of Miami. He came a few years after I did. So we both had these UM stories, back in the day stories. What was campus like when you were there? This is what it was like when I was there. All those kinds of things. And it was really, really great. We shot 10 episodes in 5 days. Shoot. Because he was in the midst of doing promotion for Black Adam and was getting ready to start filming another movie. So they shoot all of his stuff in a block. So I flew in, and in the morning we'd be shooting scenes from episode 4. By lunch, we were shooting scenes from episode 7. Before dinner, we were shooting scenes from episode 2. And the whole day was like that for 5 days until we finished everything that needed to be done. It was really great work working with him. We had a blast. I'm still waiting on my case of Zoa. So,
I need to drink some of that too. I heard really good stuff about it.
It is good stuff. He gave some to me on the set because I was slamming Red Bulls. He was like, "You need to stop drinking that stuff." I said, "But these hours, I need something." He said, "Come with me." So what's this trailer? Here's this flavor, black cherry, pineapple, coconut, mandarin orange. I mean, he had all of these amazing flavors. And so, I'm now a Zoa girl. So he's promised me he's sending me a case. He's sending me some cases.
You're also the president and CEO of the Morning Jewel Incorporated. Tell us a little bit about it.
Mm-hmm. That's my production company, Morning Jewel, which is basically a play on my name, Dawn. My middle name is Jewel. And that's my housing corporate title for me as an individual. It also covers my record label. It covers my publishing. It covers any projects that I create or produce, et cetera. So, yeah, that's the professional arm under which I do the majority of my business this morning.
Well, since we're a 90s podcast, well, do you have any favorite 90s shows you watched?
Oh, I used to love Cheers.
Cheers. Oh, yeah.
Cheers. And this is kind of 90s, not really, but MASH. I was a big MASH fan.
Big MASH.
That was about the Vietnam War. Yeah.
And Living Color was a good show, too.
And Living Color. Yes. Living Single. Yes. Yes. I mean, there's a number of shows that I used to watch. If we really went down into it. I'm trying to think. What else is on?
The Days of Our Lives?
Yeah.
I read that briefly.
I was on there for like a week. I did like 4 or 5 episodes. I was a big soap opera fan. General Hospital, all my children when I was in college. You were transfixed. I'd never done a soap opera. Never thought about doing a soap opera. But my mom was here visiting me. She was in Atlanta. And she was here when I got a call from the casting directors of Days of Our Lives. And they wanted to know, would I be interested in coming and doing this recurring spot on the show? And I said, well, Days of Our Lives. I've never thought of it. And my mom was sitting close by. My mom, like I said, Guyanese. You're going to do Days of Our Lives? Oh, that's my favorite show. I'm gonna watch it from 1964 till now, and this and thing. And I'm looking at her like, you're really excited. Yes, just tell the people. Yes, tell them. I was like, okay, yeah, sure. I'll come and do Days of Our Lives.
She would have been so happy.
I was a surgeon on the show, and you get there and, you know, because it's shoot every day and it's always so secretive and NDAs and stuff and no visitors on the set. So my mom was like, she always comes like eventually to wherever I'm working to come and hang out. Everyone meets and loves mom. I said, no, Ma, you can't come. She was so disappointed.
Oh,
you mean what? I wanted to tell Allison, I said hi. And this, and she named all the character names. I want you to tell so-and-so and so-and-so and Deidre. I was like, Ma, okay. So I went to work. I said, my mother would kill me. She says, hello. She loves the show. Oh, you should bring your mom. I said, yeah, but all the signs say I can't do that. You tell them we said it was okay. Yeah. So the whole cast said, you know what? In fact, I'm calling the office now and getting a drive on for your mom for tomorrow. You bring your mother. I was like, okay. So I went home, told mom, guess what? You get to come to the set. She must have changed clothes 9 times. She comes to the set. Everyone's taking pictures with her. We weren't allowed to take photos, do nothing. Everyone is taking pictures with my mom. She gets one of the PA. Well, they arranged for one of the PAs to give her a tour of every set for the show. She's lounging on so-and-so's sofa in the big chair in the bar scene, taking pictures. I said, wait a minute now. I've been here 4 days. I don't have one single picture. Nobody gave me a tour. They gave her a hat, a jacket, a commemorative book of the 75 years. She was in high cotton. Okay. I was like, All right, whatever. Miss Lewis, do you want anything else? Mr. Four Days of Our Lives. I love that show. Thank you, Jesus. All right.
That's dope.
The things you do for mom.
Yeah, you gotta do it for mom. So since we're about to wrap up, you got anything else you want to say? Like any final words? What else you have coming up? You got anything else coming up soon?
Well, Young Rock, the next season, season 4.
Are you going to be in season 4?
Star Trek Lower Decks. Yes, sir. We're in the midst of recording it now. Futurama is coming back. We've been in the studio recording that. I do the voice of La Barbara on Futurama. So those shows are coming back. So we're recording those. And I'm gearing up for our foundation events in 2 weeks. We're taking a group of young boys and young girls to the Academy Museum of Motion Pictures to experience the Regenerations exhibit. And that's the contributions of African Americans in film and television starting from the 1920s.
Okay.
So we'll be doing that. And then a couple of months later, we'll have our annual Focused and Fit, FIT, which stands for Financially and Technologically Informed, Focus and Fit for a Different World conference on the USC campus, where we do a day-long workshops in financial literacy and technology. That's for high school juniors and seniors and their parents and college freshmen and sophomores. At the end of the conference, we award anywhere from 6 to 12 scholarships of $2,000 each and a brand new computer. So we're in the midst of doing all of that while I'm still working, getting ready to head out of town again to do some more filming. But I'm grateful. So all you 80s, 90s babies out there, thank you for giving Thanks for giving a sister a platform. Keep watching those shows. It's amazing to me that they're still on. They're still being enjoyed. So while I am no longer Jaleesa, I really appreciate you guys still watching A Different World and all those other shows that was so great from back in the day.
Those are all-time great shows. They're going to live forever.
Mm-hmm. We should be so lucky.
Yeah, I'm lucky to grow up. I grew up in that era, so I was spoiled.
So what do you watch now?
You know what? I watched some. A friend of mine was trying to get me into Stranger Things a little bit, but I'm trying to get into that a little bit, but I'm warming up to it a little bit.
Okay.
You watched Stranger Things?
I have. In the Broadway show, we had some kids in the show, and they would talk about the Stranger Things and all of that. And they're like, Miss Dawn, you have to watch it. So just to know what they were talking about, I watched the first few seasons. I really haven't seen the one that's the newer season. I think it took like 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
For the next season to come out. So they're not little kids anymore. They're much older. Yeah.
Yeah, I've been watching some of the remakes too.
I liked it though.
Yeah, did you? You liked it?
Once I got into it, I was like, oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, I watched some of the remakes too, like the Saved by the Bell. The Fresh Prince one Will Smith produced. I've been trying to get in that a little bit. It's more of a drama though, so
it is.
I'm trying to slowly getting into that too.
Enjoy.
Well, yeah. Ryan, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. I'm glad to connect with a fellow Guyanese and connect another one.
Thanks. Yeah, I'm happy too. I'm glad you guys came on.
And thank you. Shoot us a link.
I will. Yeah. Well, give me a couple weeks. The episode will be up and I'll shoot you a link.
Excellent.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
When you get to New York, we got to go check out Alan's Bakery.
We got Alan.
Yeah, I'll hook up. I'll check out. Should be in New York probably in the summer sometime. I'm definitely check it out.
Let me know when you're in town.
All right. Okay, for sure. I'll let you know.
Sounds Stay warm good. In Toronto.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Ryan.
Yeah,
so I'll catch up to you separately.
Okay.
Right, bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks again for Dr. Dawn Lewis for coming on to Throwback Podcast to talk to us about her impressive career. I learned a lot during this interview. I grew up watching TV shows like A Different World and Hanging with Mr. Cooper, but I had no idea she did a song with Vanessa Williams, or was a part of the X-Men video games, or even was a part of the Tina Turner musical. She's had a truly inspiring career, and make sure to check her out on the next upcoming season of Young Rock on NBC. It should be a great to watch. You know, I was going through some stuff earlier and I realized Hold on a sec, guys. My phone's going off again. I just got a voicemail from Jimmy. Let's see what he said.
Hello, you have a new voicemail message.
Oh, I can hardly breathe, Daddy. Oh, my nose, my honky. No, Daddy. That's it for me, Daddy. I'm tapping out, Daddy.
Okay. I guess Jimmy's nose is still bothering him from that little incident with the little kid behind him. Well, that's okay. We got through the episode just fine, and I always know... Hold on, it's my phone again. Now he just sent me a text message. Hold on, guys. Please pick me up a clown nose at Party City for my date later. I think the baby picked it. Okay. He wants me to get a clown nose at Party City for his date later to hide his nose. well, I don't know why I bother sometimes, but I guess I'll go make a quick errand here. Anyways, everybody, thanks again for stopping by and checking out another edition of the Throwback Podcast. Please be sure to check us out on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, and wherever else you get your favorite podcasts. Until next time. Goodbye, everybody.